Okay, last time we stopped at the end of chapter 16 of 2 Samuel. So we're going to pick it up in chapter 17 as we continue on. And you know, there's a couple of men that there's just an awful lot written, and Moses is one and David is the other. I mean, it's just amazing how much is written about them. So there's a lot to learn. So 17, verse 1, moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now choose our 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night. Remember, Absalom was rebelling against his father. He was the third son of David. Remember, his sister got raped, and his older brother, Amnon, who was David's oldest son, raped her. And so Absalom killed him. And then he went off for a couple of years. He came back. And when he came back, he was there a couple of years. And then he decided to take over the kingdom if he could. We would call it a coup d'etat, right? A coup. And so Absalom has rebelled, and David has run. He's on the run again for a second time in his life. And this guy, Ahithophel, says, give me 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night. And I will come upon him while he is weary and weak and weak-handed, and will make him afraid, and all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only. And I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is as if all returned, so all the people shall be in peace. And the saying pleased Absalom well, and all the elders of Israel. Then said Absalom, call me now Hushai, the Archite, also, and let us hear likewise what he saith. Now remember, Hushai was a guy that was a counselor. Both of these guys were counselors to David. And Hushai was with David, and he said, let me go back and go to the court of Absalom, and I'll pretend I'm with him, and I'll find out what's going on. So that's what he's doing. So Absalom says, call Hushai the Archite also, and let us likewise hear what he saith. And when Hushai was come to Absalom, Absalom spake unto him, saying, Ahithophel hath spoken after this manner. Shall we do after his saying? If not, speak thou. And Hushai said unto Absalom, the counsel of Ahithophel hath given is not good at this time. For said Hushai, thou knowest thy father and his men, that they be mighty men, and they be chafed in their minds, meaning, you know, they're unhappy. They're mad. As a bear robbed of her whelps in the field, and thy father is a man of war and will not lodge with the people. You know, if you know anything about animals, one of the things, bears are very, very protective of their young. And if somebody gets them, then they go nuts and they'll do anything. They get ferocious. I mean, they're already ferocious, but they get worse. Verse 9, behold, he is hid now in some pit or in some other place. And it will come to pass when some of them be overthrown at the first, that whosoever heareth it will say, there is a slaughter among the people that follow Absalom. And he also that is valiant, whose heart is at the heart of a lion shall utterly melt, for all Israel knoweth that thy father is a mighty man, and they which be with him are valiant men. And they're also battle veterans, right? They've fought some wars already. Therefore, I counsel that all Israel be generally gathered unto thee, from Dan even to Beersheba, as the sand that is by the sea for a multitude, and that thou go to battle in thine own person, so that we come upon him in the same place, in some place where he shall be found, and we will light upon him as the dew falleth on the ground. And of him and of all the men are with him, there shall not be left so much as one. So his counsel is, we get an overwhelming force and we just destroy them. We just jump on them and they don't have a chance. Sounds good, right? Moreover, if he be gotten into a city, then shall all Israel bring ropes to that city, and we will draw it into a river until there be not one small stone found there. So he's saying, if he goes into a city, we'll just destroy it. And Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel, for the Lord hath appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel, to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom. So what is he saying here? we know that God is good and he's love, but what is it saying is he's protecting David and Absalom has turned from God. He's not a godly man. So God is working in this situation, and he worked in Hushai to give this counsel, and God's working it so it looks good to them because he's going to make sure that Absalom is defeated. Then said Hushai unto Zadok and unto Abiathar the priest, thus and thus did Ahithophel counsel Absalom, the elders of Israel, and thus have I counseled. Now, therefore, send quickly and tell David, saying, lodge not this night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily pass over, lest the king be swallowed up and all the people that are with him. So he says, you know, we're going to send a message to David and tell him to move quick and get out of the way. You know, I'm really blessed that God, he didn't go through the whole record again. He said, you know, Ahithophel said such and such, and Hushai said such and such, you know, so we didn't have to reread everything because we already know. Now, Jonathan and Ahimaaz stayed at Enrogel, for they might not be seen to come into the city, and a wench went and told them, and they went and told King David. Nevertheless, a lad saw them and told Absalom. But they went both of them away quickly and came to a man's house in Baal-Bahurim, which had a well in his court, whither they went down. So they went to this guy's house and he had a well, and they went into the well. And the woman took and spread a covering over the well's mouth and spread ground corn thereon, and the thing was not known. And when Absalom's servants came to the house, to the woman of the house, they said, where is Ahimaaz and Jonathan? And the woman said unto them, they be gone over the brook of water. And when they had sought and could not find them, they returned to Jerusalem. And it came to pass after they were departed that they came up out of the well and went and told King David, and said unto David, arise and pass quickly over the water, for thus hath Ahithophel counseled against you. Then David arose and all the people that were with him, and they passed over Jordan by the morning light. There lacked not one of them that was not gone over Jordan. So, you know, and think about it. He went with his army, but he also went with his wives and their children. I mean, it had to be a huge undertaking to move all those people. But they all got across the Jordan in the early, early morning. Verse 23, and when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order, and hanged himself and died, and was buried in the sepulcher of his father. Then David came to Manahim. And Absalom passed over Jordan, he and all his men of Israel with him. And Absalom made Amasa captain of the host instead of Joab. Now that's important because later on we're going to see this guy and Joab are going to come into play. Absalom made Amasa captain over the host instead of Joab. In other words, he appointed him the general of the army instead of Joab, which Amasa was a man's son whose name was Ithra, an Israelite, that went into Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, sister of Zerahiah, Joab's mother. So Israel and Absalom pitched in the land of Gilead. So there's a connection there. Amas was the son of a man named Ithra, who went into Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, the sister of Zerahiah, Joab's mother. You figure out what the relationship there is. They're related, though. Of course, all Israel was related, you know, as cousins some way or another. So Israel and Absalom pitched in the land of Gilead. And it came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim that Shobi, the son of Nahash, of Rabbah, of the children of Ammon, and Machir, the son of Amiel, of Lodabar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite of Rakalim, Rogelim, brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse. So they came to take care of David. All these different guys. Shobi and Makur and Barzillai. And so they did all that stuff. And the honey and the butter and the sheep and the cheese of kine for David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. So these guys were helping David. And David numbered the people that were with him and set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them. And David sent forth a third part of the people under the hand of Joab. Remember, yeah, the other guy, Amasa, was chosen over Joab to be general of the army of Israel. And a third part under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and a third part under the hand of Ittai the Gittite. He would be a Gentile, and but he was loyal to David. I think we looked at that the last time. And the king said unto the people, I will surely go forth with you myself also. But the people... Okay, Janet. You all right?
Yeah.
Okay. But the people answered, thou shalt not go forth. For if we flee away, they will not care for us. Neither if half of us die, will they care for us. But now thou art worth 10,000 of us. Therefore, now it is better that thou succor us out of the city. So, you know, these people, they were so concerned about David's life that they didn't want anything to happen to him. Okay. So they said, you know, you stay here. We don't want you in the battle. You may get killed, and we need you. And the king said unto them, what seemeth you best I will do. And the king stood by the gate side, and all the people came out by hundreds and by thousands. And the king commanded Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom. And all the people heard when the king gave all the captains charge concerning Absalom. So here, David expresses a great love for his son, even though he's turned against him. So the people went out into the field against Israel, and the battle was in the wood of Ephraim, where the people of Israel were slain before the servants of David, and there was a great slaughter that day of 20,000 men, for the battle was scattered over the face of all the country, and the wood devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. I don't really understand what that means, but
a lot of people died,
and some of it was because of where they were, and who knows. And Absalom met with the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under a thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between heaven and earth, and the mule that was under him went away. So he's riding along, and he had that thick hair, remember? And that thick, thick hair. And he's riding, and his hair gets caught in probably a crook of a branch. And it just pulls him right off the mule, and he's hanging there. And a certain man saw it and told Joab and said, "Behold, I saw Absalom hanged in an oak." And Joab said unto the man that told him, "And behold, thou sawest him, and why didst thou not smite him there to the ground? And I would have given thee 10 shekels of silver and a girdle." And the man said unto Joab, "Though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in mine hand, yet would I not put forth mine hand against the king's son. For in our hearing the king charged thee and Abishai and Ittai, saying, beware that none touch the young man Absalom." So this guy had heard it. The army had heard him give this request, and this guy wouldn't kill him because he was the king's son. "Otherwise I should have wrought falsehood against mine own life, for there is no matter hid from the king, and thou thyself wouldest have set thyself against me." Then said Joab, "I may not tarry thus with thee." And he took 3 darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. And 10 young men that bare Joab's armor compassed about and smote Absalom and slew him. And Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing after Israel, for Joab held back the people. So once their leader was gone, they were done. And, you know, they found the guy, and Joab threw 3 spears through his heart, and then his armor bearers got around him and just whacked him up. Made sure he was dead, dead, dead. I don't know how many times you can kill somebody, but... Verse 17, "And they took Absalom and cast him into a great pit in the wood and laid a very great heap of stones upon him, and all Israel fled everyone to his tent." So that's the end of Absalom and his rebellion against his father, and his coup fails. Now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up for himself a pillar, which is in the king's dale. A dale is what? It's like a valley, right? Mm-hmm. "For he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. And he called the pillar after his own name, and it is called unto this day Absalom's place. Then Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. And Joab said unto him, thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead. Then said Joab to a Cushi," or in other versions it says a Cushite. A Cushite would be, remember, one of the sons of Noah, I think, was Cush, right? So he said to Cush, the Cushi or Cushite, "Go tell the king what thou hast seen." And Cushi bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, "But howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushi." And Joab said, "Wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready?" "But however," said he, "let me run." And he said unto him, "Run." And Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushi. Guy must have been pretty fast. And David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate unto the wall and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone. And the watchman cried and told the king, and the king said, if he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near. And the watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called unto the porter and said, behold, another man running alone. And the king said, he also bringeth tidings, meaning, you know, when he says he brings tidings, he means good news. And the watchman said, me thinketh the running of the foremost is the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, he is a good man and cometh with good tidings. And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, all is well. And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against the Lord, my lord the king. And the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? And Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me, the servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. And the king said unto him, turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. And behold, Cushi came. And Cushi said, tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. And the king said unto Cushi, is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushi answered, the enemies of my lord and all that rise up against thee to do thee hurt be as the young man is. And the king was much moved, and he went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. So it's interesting that David, you know, he was anointed of God. But when his son rebelled, he ran away. But he didn't want his son hurt. And when he said he died, he said, man, I wish I'd have died instead. It's kind of wild. Let's go to Psalm 30. Hold your place there. And go to Psalm 31. This is a psalm that David wrote regarding this situation, or the situation that concerning his son when he fled from Absalom. It says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have heard them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth, became because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors. You know, his neighbors were who? Israel, right? The other tribes of Israel. and they fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. So he was pretty aware of what they were doing, and he knew that Absalom would have killed him. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in the pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of a good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. So that was a psalm that he apparently wrote when he fled from Absalom. Let's go to Psalm 41. It's a shorter one. And this is a psalm of David, but it's talking about his enemies. And it says, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The word blessed is happy. Happy is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. I said, O Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? Wow. Speaking of, Absalom and all his co-conspirators. And if he come to see me, he speaketh vanity. His heart gathereth iniquity to itself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it. Remember when Absalom came back, he went to see the king, and he said, he was sorry, and would the king please receive him back? And then he went outside of Jerusalem, and every time somebody from Israel came, what did he tell him? He said, hey, I know you've got a problem. He said, if I was in charge, you'd get justice. Yep. And that's how he got the people of Israel to follow him. Verse 6 again, and if he come to see me, he speaketh vanity. His heart gathereth iniquity to itself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it. All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. An evil disease, say they, cleaveth fast unto him. And now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more. Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. What was that? Ahithophel was his counselor, a trusted friend. But thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me and raise me up that I may requite them. By this I know that thou favorest me because mine enemy doth not triumph over me. And as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity and settest me before the face forever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. Go to Psalm 55. I'm just going to read a couple of verses here. In verse 12 it says, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, O man, mine equal, my guide and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them and let them go down quick into hell, for the wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me." You know, and it goes on there, but he said, you know, it wasn't an enemy. It was my equal, my guide, mine acquaintance. I'm going to read you one thing. You don't have to go there, but in 2 Samuel 15, 12, it says, "And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gileonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices, and the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom." You know, Ahithophel. Ahithophel was that counselor that David had, and he was a close friend of David, or at least David thought so. Let's go to Psalm 63. Three score and three, biblically. It's a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. This is when he was, you know, fleeing from Absalom. It says, "O God, thou art God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." Remember, those guys came and brought him food and you know, whatever they needed. "To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of the wings will I rejoice, of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword, they shall be a portion for the foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped." So that's just a couple of the Psalms dealing with how David was dealing with this stuff. And obviously, the main thing is he went to God and he looked to God to be his sufficiency, to take care of him, to watch over him. Let's go back to 2 Samuel. Second Samuel 19, and we'll finish up with 19. And of course, once, you know, in the last verse of 18, it says the king was moved and he went, "Oh, Absalom, Absalom, my son, I wish I'd have died instead of you." And then in verse 1, it says, "And it was told Joab, behold, the king weepeth and mourneth for Absalom. And the victory that day was turned into mourning unto all the people. For the people heard say that day how the king was grieved for his son. And the people got them by stealth that day into the city, as people being ashamed steal away when they flee to battle. The people had been joyous because they won a big battle, but because David was mourning for his son, it put a damper on everything, and people were, you know, stealing away, being quiet, not because they wanted to, but because of David. But the king covered his face, and the king cried with a loud voice, "Oh, my son Absalom, oh, Absalom, my son, my son." So, you know, here's this son that turned against him, that wanted to kill him, that had this conspiracy to overthrow the king. He gets killed, and David is beside himself in grief. Verse 5, "And Joab came into the house to the king and said, 'Thou hast shamed this day the faces of all thy servants.'" Now, Joab is the general of the army, right? But he's not the king. And he's got a lot of, he's really being bold here, because he goes to David and he confronts him. He says, "Thou hast shamed this day the faces of all thy servants, which this day have saved thy life and the lives of thy sons and of thy daughters and the lives of thy wives and the lives of thy concubines." What's he saying? He's saying, you know, these people risked their life to save you, and they saved you, and they saved not only your life, but the life of your other wives, of your children, of your concubines, of your servants. You know, they saved you. Verse 6, "In that thou lovest thine enemies and hatest thy friends, for thou hast declared this day that thou regardest neither princes nor servants. For this day I perceive that if Absalom had lived and all we had died this day, then it would have pleased thee well." Well, that's a real slap in the face, isn't it? You know, again, you know, it's one of those things where it shows the humanity of David and his humility, because when he gets confronted like this, he doesn't have Joab killed, because he could have. "Now therefore, arise, go forth and speak comfortably unto thy servants." He says, you know, you need to go talk to your followers, the people that love you, the people that fought for you and saved you. He said, "Go speak to your servants. For I swear by the Lord, if thou go not forth, there will not be tarry one with thee this night. And that will be worse unto thee than all the evil that befell thee from thy youth until now." So Joab says, if you don't go and comfort your servants and tell them what a great job and how you're so thankful that they saved you and your family and your servants and your children, he says, it's going to be worse for you than all the other stuff you've gone through your whole life. "Then the king arose and sat in the gate, and they told unto all the people, saying, 'Behold, the king doth sit in the gate.' And all the people came before the king, for Israel had fled every man to his tent." So once he came out in public, he was David again. He was their king. "And all the people were at strife throughout all the tribes of Israel." So, you know, he's not in Jerusalem. He's not in Judah. He's across Jordan, right? But he's in this little city. "And all the people were at strife through all the tribes of Israel, saying, 'The king saved us out of the hand of our enemies, and he delivered us out of the hand of the Philistines. And now he has fled out of the land for Absalom.'" What did we do? Why did we follow Absalom? All that David did for us, you know, he fought against the Philistines. He fought against our enemies. And now he's fled and he's an outcast. "And Absalom, whom we anointed over us, is dead in battle. Now therefore, why speak ye not a word of bringing the king back?" And they said, why aren't we talking about bringing David back? Why aren't we welcoming him back as king? "And the king And King David said unto Zadok and to Abiathar, the priest, saying, speak unto the elders of Judah, saying, why are ye the last to bring the king back to his house, seeing the speech of all Israel has come to the king, even to his house? So Israel went and they said to the king, we want you to come back. But the people in Judah didn't. So it upset David. So he says to Zadok and Abiathar, the priests, how come the elders of Israel didn't do this? Or the elders of Judah? Ye are my brethren, ye are my bones and my flesh. Wherefore then are ye the last to bring back the king? And ye say to Amasa, and say ye to Amasa, remember Amasa? Amasa was made the general over the army of Israel. Art thou not of my bone and of my flesh? God do so to me, and more also, if thou be not captain of the host before me continually in the room of Joab. And he bowed the heart of all the men of Judah, even as the heart of one man, so that they sent this word unto the king, return thou and all thy servants. So the king returned and came to Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal to go to meet the king, to conduct the king over Jordan. So all the people went out of Judah. They went to the river Jordan and to bring him back across the river. And Shimei, the son of Gera, the Benjamite, which was at Bahurim, hasted and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. Do you remember Shimei? Shimei was the guy, he was of Benjamin, which was, he was a relative of Saul. And when David left, Shimei was the guy that cursed him and threw dirt at them. He said, you're evil, get out, we're glad you're leaving. And he cursed him. Well, he's changed his mind. And he comes back to meet King David. And there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him. And Ziba, or Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons and his 20 servants with him. And they went over Jordan before the king. Now, Ziba was the guy who took care of Mephibosheth. And he was, you know, the servant in Saul's house. And so he took care of all the lands of Saul. And so he's back with his sons and his servants. And there went over a ferry boat to carry the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan. And he said unto the king, let not my lord impute iniquity unto me. Neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely the day that my lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. And so Shimei is saying, you know, have mercy upon me. Forgive me for this. And David knew all about forgiveness because he got forgiven. For thy servant doth know that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I am come the first this day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king. But Abishai, the son of Zariah, answered and said, shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed? So here we, you know, he says that David is the Lord's anointed. You know, he said he should be put to death because he cursed you. Remember, David never cursed Saul because he was the Lord's anointed, much less kill him. And David said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zariah, that ye should this day be adversaries unto me? Shall there any man be put to death this day in Israel? For do not I know that I am this day king over Israel? Therefore the king said unto Shimei, thou shalt not die, and the king swear unto him. So again, he was very merciful and forgiving. What a great guy. I mean, if he wanted, and if he'd have done it, if he'd have killed everybody, nobody would have blamed him. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. And it came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, Wherefore wentest thou not with me, Mephibosheth? And he answered, My lord, O king, my servant deceived me, for my servant said, I will saddle me an ass that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And he hath slandered thy servant unto my lord the king, but my lord the king is an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. So here he calls David an angel of God, meaning what? A messenger of God. For all of my father, not that he was a, you know, a cherubim or had wings or was a spiritual, but he's just a messenger. For all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. What right therefore have I yet to cry any more unto the king? And the king said unto him, Why speakest thou any more of the matters? I have said, Thou and Ziba divide the land. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, Yea, let him take it all. For as much as my lord the king has come again in peace unto his own house. And Barzillai, he was one of those guys when David was in the wilderness that came and brought food to him. Barzillai. And Barzillai the Gileadite came down from Rogalim and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old. He was 80 years old. And he had provided the king of sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. He was very wealthy. And the king said unto Barzillai, Come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. And Barzillai said unto the king, How long have I to live that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old. It must have been his birthday. And I can discern between good and evil. Oh, can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men or singing women? Wherefore then should they, thy servant, be yet a burden unto my lord the king? He said, you know, I'm getting old. I don't taste very well. I don't hear very well. You know, I'll just be a burden to you. Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king. And why should the king recompense it me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in mine own city and be buried by the grave of my father and my mother. But behold, thy servant Chimham, let him go over with my lord the king and do to him what shall seem good unto thee. And the king answered, Chimham shall go over with me, and I will do to him that which shall seem good unto thee. And whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee. And all the people went over Jordan. And when the king was come over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned unto his own place. Then the king went on to Gilgal, and Chimham went with him, and all the people of Judah conducted the king, and also half the people of Israel. And behold, all the men of Israel came to the king and said unto the king, Why have our brethren, the men of Judah, stolen thee away and have brought the king and his household and all David's men with him over Jordan? And all the men of Judah answered the men of Israel, Because the king is near kin to us. Wherefore then be angry for this matter? Have we eaten at all at the king's cost? Or hath he given us any gift? And the men of Israel answered the men of Judah and said, We have 10 parts in the king, and we have also more right to David than ye. Why then did ye despise us, that our advice should not be first had bringing him back our king? And the words of the men of Judah were fiercer than the words of the men of Israel. So they had a little dispute because Israel thought they deserved David, and men of Judah thought they deserved David. So they weren't exactly hitting it off. But of course, Israel had rebelled, and now they're trying to get back with David and the good graces and so on. So we're going to leave it there tonight. That's as far as we can go where it'll make sense. And we'll pick it up next time in chapter 20. And we're going to learn about Sheba, who was a man of Belial. Another guy that tried to screw around with David. Yeah, David had a lot of things going on, and people just were jealous of him, I guess. Or, you know, anytime anybody's the leader of a country, there's always people that criticize.
Don't like him.
Yeah. It's like, you know, you work in a job and somebody complains and said, our boss doesn't know anything, but he's the one that signs the checks, you know. So, anyway, Father God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for your word and for the joy it is to be willing to fellowship and share the word with each other and learn it together and see the greatness of it. We thank you for a sweet night for everybody and a great day tomorrow. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.